Hey y'all, I'm Mandy.
I'm Karen, and this is Monstrous.
This episode contains topics and language that may not be suitable for all listeners, and topics that may be triggering for some. Listener discretion is advised.
Okay. Another week.
Yay.
Another week down.
Yep.
Okay. Hopefully nobody can hear the munchkins in the background.
Negative Ghost Rider.
Hopefully not, but we'll see. Sorry if you can. We have this sequestered, but.
Yeah. For how long?
They tend to yell and scream no matter where they're at. And we can't get them to stay outside, so.
No. Not at all.
Okay. Do you have anything new?
Not really.
To share with the world?
Oh, God.
No.
No.
Okay. So we have a TikTok now. We have not made that announcement yet.
We have not.
Nope. So we have a TikTok. I will put that link in the description and on the Facebook page. I think I already did, but I'm not sure. But I'll link it. Anyway, how are you feeling after last week's episode, Mandy?
I'm here. That was an interesting one, needless to say.
Yeah. It was a little rough.
Yeah, it definitely was.
So, like I said, this one starts out sad.
Mm-hmm.
But it has happy ending. So we just gotta
get to the ending.
Get through it.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, so the case today is interesting. It's a kidnapping, obviously, and it's pretty intense, but there is a happy ending. So just bear with me here. So we're going to talk about the disappearance of Delimar Vera. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
You've never heard of her?
I don't think so.
All right. Well, Delimar Vera was born on December 5th, 1997.
Oh.
To Luz Cuevas. I think that's how you say her name. Sorry if I said it wrong. And Pedro Vera. At the time, they lived in Fentonville, which is a neighborhood in northern Philadelphia. It's just like a kind of like a suburb, you know. So Luz was excited about the arrival of their daughter, but her husband, Pedro, he wasn't the biggest fan of having more children.
Mm.
He was so unmoved by the birth of his daughter that he had refused to sign the birth certificate. And according to Luz, that was proof that Pedro didn't want her.
Okay.
I feel like that'd be a pretty strong indicator, girlfriend.
Right.
Just saying. Despite this, though, on December 15th, 10 days after giving birth, Luz was at home with Pedro, their newborn daughter, Delimar, and their other two sons, who were 4 and 5 at the time. Around 7 o'clock that night, there was a knock at the door. Luz answers it to a woman that she had never met before standing on her doorstep. This woman was named Carolyn Correa, I think is how you say it. This woman was Pedro's cousin by marriage. So Carolyn was from New Jersey. And I guess she was in the area or whatever, decided to stop by to see if Pedro would look at her car because she apparently had been having issues with her brakes. And since Pedro was good with cars, she knew that she could count on him to look at it and fix it. Pedro agreed to take a look at it, but he said before he could, he had to run some errands. He needed to go to the grocery store, you know, all that. So while Pedro was out, Carolyn stays at the home with Luz and the kids. The two make small talk. That's really about it. It's kind of awkward because they don't really know each other.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know if I'd have a lady staying at my house, but.
Right.
To each their own. So then naturally the topic of babies comes up because, I mean, Luz had just given birth. It's not out of the realm of possibility. Carolyn had told Luz that her and her boyfriend, Andre Moore, had also had a baby recently. The conversation just kind of flowed from there. And while they were downstairs chatting, Luz suddenly heard a loud bang that came from upstairs, which she said sounded like an explosion.
Damn.
Right? Luz panics because her baby is upstairs. So Luz runs upstairs and into Delimar's room. But by the time she reaches the room, a small fire has broken out, and the baby's room is now filled with smoke. Despite the large amount of smoke encasing the room, Luz finds her way to the crib. But Delimar isn't there.
Oh, shit.
Seconds later, the smoke became too much for Luz to handle, and she's forced out of the room. After catching her breath, Luz once again fought through the smoke and returned to the crib. But it's only confirmed that her 10-day-old baby girl was not where she had been left asleep. Along with the realization that her daughter was now missing, Luz suffered burns to her face and her arms. So having what she saw when she first went into the room confirmed, Luz knew somehow her daughter had been taken from that room because she's a newborn. She couldn't just get out of the crib and just wander off by herself. But Luz had also noticed that a window was open, which she had not opened. First, because the baby's upstairs, second floor, and it's also December.
Right.
So it's cold. So this was obviously shocking, and it threw Luz into a place, honestly, I don't ever want to be there. But the fire was growing, and it had now become out of control. And she didn't have time to stand there thinking and trying to figure out what the hell had happened because she had two other children in the home who were 4 and 5. Thankfully, she was able to get to her boys, and they all made it outside. Neighbors came running because they heard Luz screaming, my baby, over and over again. Seeing the fire and the smoke accompanied by Luz's cries, a neighbor named Jose Rosario, who was about 20 years old at the time, rushed over and tried to get into the house in an attempt to save the baby. Jose later told reporters that he swore he had heard crying, so he covered his face and attempted to climb the stairs, but the smoke was too thick. He said, quote, I tried my best. The smoke was choking me.
Aww.
Other neighbors had also followed in his lead and tried to help. One named Chico Frazon, I think that's how you say that, he had tried to douse the fire using his garden hose, but the fire was too out of control and his attempts were really just useless. Chico told reporters that the flames were just too much. Once firefighters had arrived, which was fairly quickly, the first thing that they had to do was push back the now large crowd who was shouting at them to go in and save their baby. The neighbors were yelling that a baby was still in the house. Luz had told one of the firefighters that she had went into her daughter's room to her crib, and she was not in the crib. She's like, no, I went in there. My baby's not there. She's missing. I couldn't find anything on how the firefighters had actually handled the situation. Or that, you know, she just seemed to just vanish into thin fucking air. But from statements that they had made, it was pretty clear at the time that they didn't believe Luz at all. Within about 10 minutes of arriving, the fire was under control and it was pretty much completely extinguished. The small row house was now totally gutted and there was no sign of Delimar anywhere. Now, by this point, Pedro has returned home to his home completely destroyed, his wife being placed into the back of an ambulance, and his daughter missing. Without proof of this, and despite Luz saying Delimar was not in her bed when the fire first broke out, it was a firefighter that told Pedro that his daughter had died in the fire, and they declared Delimar dead at the scene.
What the fuck? So she's saying the baby wasn't in there, and a firefighter's telling him the baby passed away.
That the baby's dead.
Wow.
Fire officials told Pedro that they had found no body because her remains had been completely destroyed by the fire. A house fire does not get that hot.
There would still be something there.
It takes over 2,000 degrees over hours.
Right.
To turn an entire human body, even as a baby, even the bones, to nothing but ash. And the house did not burn that long.
Right.
So, Luz and Pedro didn't believe what they were being told. The following day, Fire Captain Henry Dolbury told reporters that the fire was caused by a home-rigged extension cord that had been used to plug in a space heater. He said it must have thrown a spark, which had started the fire. Which is possible, because in the 90s, they didn't have, you know, if you knock a space heater over, it automatically shuts off.
Right, like they do now.
Exactly. And then the heating elements were, like, exposed. Like, you touch it, and you're going to burn. They didn't have all the stuff we have now today. So, could have happened. And Delimar did hear, or not Delimar, Luz did hear that loud bang
right
come from her daughter's room. So, maybe it did explode. While this is going on, Luz is discharged from Temple University Hospital this same day, so the day after the fire. This was when she had learned that there were no remains to bury and that the medical examiner could not legally declare Delimar dead. So they were also never issued a death certificate. Because with no remains,
right,
they can't say she's dead.
Mm-hmm.
So, firefighter to clear it up. Firefighters can say, yes, this person is dead at the scene. But because they are not a medical examiner or a coroner or anything like that, they cannot legally declare it for official and legal records.
Right.
You have to have a medical examiner in order to be able to issue and sign a death certificate. With no remains, they can't do that. And the only time that that does happen, because it does happen in some cases, is in most jurisdictions, it's 7 years that this person is missing. Then you can have them legally declared dead, but you have to like go to court. It's a whole process. But it's not like that. It's
right.
Some places it's 10, 15, even more years than that. It just kind of depends. So in order for Luz and Pedro to get a death certificate for Delimar, they would have to, like I said, petition the court to legally declare her dead, but they had no proof that she was. So it was not going to be an easy task. They were obviously devastated, but they had two other children, so they had no choice but to move on. Because, again, their children are 4 and 5.
Right.
So they move into a new home, and 2 years later, Luz gives birth to their fourth child, a boy they named Samuel. They were happy to add Samuel to their family, but the loss of Delimar took a very heavy toll on them. And in 2002, the two separated. By this time, the two had rarely agreed on anything, and their communication had gotten bad. The only thing that they did and had always agreed on was that Delimar had been kidnapped the night of the fire and she was still alive. In 2004, Luz said, quote, "I always knew that my daughter did not die in that fire." The two of them weren't quiet about their beliefs either. They made it very known. And it's crazy because at the beginning, it seemed as though Pedro didn't want Delimar. But once she was gone, it's like things shifted.
Right.
He realized, you know, what had happened because she was only 10 days old. I guess, I don't know. Maybe it's because she was a girl and some men don't want girls. So maybe that's what it was. And then once she was gone,
he realized.
Exactly. I don't really know. But they both knew and they felt deep down that she was alive. All they needed was someone to listen to them. Because at this point, nobody's listening. They all think that they're just grieving parents.
Mm-hmm.
But Pedro was determined to find out where his daughter went, who had taken her, and to get her back. So on January 24th of 2004, Luz had attended a family gathering that had been thrown by Pedro's sister, Evelyn. Here, Luz spots a little girl who looks to be about 6 years old. About this girl, Luz said, quote, "She bore a striking resemblance to myself and her three boys." As soon as she seen the little girl, she felt that she was Delimar. This feeling had become even stronger when she realized who this little girl's mother was.
Oh, shit.
And she was none other than Carolyn Cora, the woman that had showed up at Pedro and Luz's home the night of the fire. Carolyn had introduced this little girl as Aaliyah. And even though Carolyn was like, "No, this is my daughter, Aaliyah, you know,
here she
is, little girl I told you about, blah, blah, blah," you know. Luz couldn't shake the feeling that this little girl was Delimar. Luz had started putting it all together. She didn't know how, but she knew that somehow Carolyn had kidnapped her baby that night. And she later told reporters, quote, "Those dimples were all the DNA I needed to be sure." So according to Pedro's cousin, Jose Vera, this wasn't the first time that Luz or Pedro had seen Aaliyah. The pair weren't exactly close to Carolyn, but they were family. So they did sometimes come in contact, you know, here and there over the years. Jose said that Pedro had always believed she was Delimar due to the oddness of everything that had happened. Just the timing of it all was just weird. But now that she's really beginning to grow into her features, they both were certain and now knew without a doubt what had happened to their daughter. Because, you know, 5, 6 years old, that's when they really start
getting their features and stuff.
Yeah. And you can really tell.
Mm-hmm.
Younger than that, they all just kind of look the same, to be honest.
Right. They do.
So Pedro was the only one before this function that had ever seen the girl in person. Luz had seen photos, but never seen her in person. And when she did, she was like, this is my daughter. Since the two had separated in 2002, Luz didn't really have much contact with Pedro's family. But that strong belief that they had is kind of what kept the two as cordial as they were.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So the two reported their suspicions to police, but nothing had ever came of it. So now in 2004, there were no suspicions left to be had. Seeing her in person, they 100% knew this was their daughter. Luz had actually told the host of the party this claim, and they didn't believe her. Which, who the fuck would believe someone in their family would steal their own baby?
Yeah, take their own baby, right.
Like, it's just crazy. Which the host is like, no, you know, Carolyn's daughter, you have to be mistaken. Even Luz's own brother had doubted her, thinking that she's just grieving the loss of her daughter. You know, the fire traumatized her, and that's all it is. It's just her way of dealing with it, not believing and accepting that her daughter is gone. Which, it did traumatize her. And then Carolyn, having this little girl her entire life, it would make sense for everyone to dismiss her.
Right.
Because she was an infant when she showed up with her,
mm-hmm.
the right age, and she's had her whole life. Why would you think any different? It's not like she's 6 years old and just shows up with her one fucking day.
Right.
Obviously, we can only imagine how desperate Luz is to prove what she believes. And she, you know, she's desperate. Family won't believe her, blah, blah, blah. You know, all that. Would not be dismissed, though. She was going to prove that Aaliyah was Delimar one way or another. So Luz approaches the little girl at the family party, and she just kind of talks to her, just like you would at any family gathering with little kids. Then, right before Aaliyah goes to run off, Luz stops her, and it's like, oh, no, you have gum in your hair. And so she helps her get the quote-unquote gum out, and she takes this opportunity to get a hair sample from her. She took it to the police for DNA testing. And she was like, just nonchalant, like, oh, just let me get this gun out for you, you know? She later told reporters that it was because of TV that she knew all she needed was hair. And they could get DNA from it to prove it. So, she did it. Of course, every part of Luz just wanted to run up to Aaliyah. She wanted to grab her. She wanted to take her home. But she was also aware that this little girl was now 6 years old.
Right.
She was being raised by someone that she fully believed to be her mom. She had no memory of anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
She was 10 days old when she was taken, you know? So, despite her wanting to do exactly that, she didn't want to traumatize her. So she's like, I'm going to do this. And it's crazy to me because Luz was only with her daughter for 10 days.
Mm-hmm.
And she sees this little girl 6 years later. She's like, that's my daughter. And I'm going to do what I have to do to not traumatize her and make this situation worse than it is. And for me, for everybody out there that's like, oh, mother's intuition isn't real. It's not a thing. It's just a feeling. No. Luz is proof that a mother's intuition is a real thing. And that no matter what, nothing can break that bond between a mother and her child.
Mm-hmm.
Because she was 10 days old. Every 10-day-old fucking baby looks the same.
Right.
But she knew 6 years later that this little girl was her daughter after only 10 days with her. So it's just crazy to me that she's like, nope, I know it. 100%, no one was going to break her, nothing. So a few days after the party, right, she took the hair sample to the local police precinct in Philadelphia to ask for help. They redirected her to a lab that would then be able to do the DNA testing for her. Now, according to the original storyline, Delimar Vera died in a tragic house fire. She was never kidnapped. So because of this, they had very little interest in even helping her. So according to their representative, Angel Cruz, who would become an instrumental person in solving this case and then getting the answers that they've spent years trying to get, the language barrier between Luz, and who spoke very little English, and law enforcement caused a major issue and prevented them from acting further or at all, really. So Liz was hoping to get the hair tested for DNA, obviously, which is why she had taken it in there. This would prove Delimar, or Aaliyah, was Delimar, but with her limited English language skills, no information on how to access the lab testing, and little financial resources, she couldn't really get anywhere. The answer she got was very slim. She wasn't able to get the testing she needed. But after hearing her story, a neighbor had suggested that Luz go see Angel Cruz, who represented the large Latino community in the area that Luz lived in at the time. Cruz said, quote, "I must admit, when Luz first came to me with this story, I had trouble believing her. But something in her story had struck him as being true." So he agreed to talk with law enforcement on her behalf and explain to them what she had told him. He wasn't sure if him coming in would do anything, but he said he would at least try. Now, in 1997, when the fire first broke out in their home, her instincts were to run to her daughter's room and save her, which she had first been alerted to the danger because of the bang she heard, not because of the fire itself, because it hadn't broken out yet, nor had become uncontrollable. When Luz got to Delimar's room, she was already missing. But the room was full of smoke at this point, not fire.
Mm-hmm.
After she entered the room was when the fire had began to grow, which would have then gotten even larger because of the oxygen that was coming into the room from the open window and now the open door. So now the fire has ignited. Before it was just smoke. So now it gets faster and faster and quickly becomes uncontrollable because the more oxygen a fire has, the faster it grows. So everyone believed that the bang Luz heard was the heater falling over and then exploding. But it could have been someone climbing in and out of the window and the ladder hitting against the house. Because the bedroom was on the second floor.
Right.
Luz told firefighters that her daughter was missing. She, of course, meant that her daughter had been taken, not that she couldn't find her. Angel pointed this out and how it was possible that because of the language barrier, investigators just thought she meant the baby was trapped inside the house. Then any claims made by Luz and Pedro after the fire were dismissed as those of grieving parents struggling to accept what had happened. Then when Luz first took her hair sample to the precinct, she took it to the front desk because where the fuck else is she supposed to take it? You know, she doesn't know. The officer she spoke with had no prior knowledge of the case. And so therefore, there was no translator that was brought up to help him understand what she wanted or why. For Angel, who spoke fluent Spanish and who could understand Luz, fully, the story was completely unbelievable. And his instincts told him to respond that the way law enforcement had 6 years ago. But the way Luz never wavered in her belief and how convinced she was that this little girl was Delimar seemed to give him a good enough reason to at least follow up on it. At least, you know, give her closure.
Closure.
So this was when Angel had decided to contact the police on her behalf, and he was able to convince them to follow up on the claim. Because of the details of the alleged crime and the age of the alleged victim, the case was handed over to Lieutenant Michael Boyle of the Philadelphia Special Victims Unit. In late February, so they're moving fast with this, because this all came out, you know, the end of January. Now We're at the end of February. They're moving fast with
There's
this.
My phone.
So in late February, detectives and agents from the Child Protective Services went to Carolyn's home in New Jersey, explaining the situation to her and informing her of why they were there. So because of the allegations being made and how important the DNA results were, Aaliyah was removed from the home and placed in foster care while investigators tried to untangle the case. Because they didn't want these allegations to be true and then Carolyn take the girl and flee.
Flee, yeah, and run.
So they have to be very sensitive to it because what if Luz is wrong and now they're taking this girl out of her home from her rightful mother, but what if she's right? It's right. Very difficult situation to be in.
Very delicate.
Yes. Yes. Which, so I'm glad that they brought in these special units
mm-hmm.
in order to handle it, because I don't feel like any other normal street cop or street investigator would have handled it the right way.
Right.
I really don't. So, of course, they can't just take the girl out of her home and be like, you know, here you go, Luz. She's all yours. They can't do that. They have to do certain steps. They have to ensure that Delimar is who they believe she is before they can do anything.
Right.
So according to Carolyn, she gave birth to Aaliyah in December of 1997, right around the same time that Luz had Delimar. Family members, including her boyfriend, remember Carolyn being pregnant. Then towards the end of December, coming home with a baby. Pedro had voiced his concerns and suspicions many times, but no matter how many times he did, no one thought to even question Carolyn or her boyfriend. And he claimed that's because, like I said earlier, who would think that a family member or one of their loved ones would steal their baby?
Right.
Like, it happens, okay? Newborn babies are kidnapped. It's rare, but it does happen. But your first thought is not to someone in your own family.
But aren't most cases people that are close to you?
Usually, but when
it comes to... Or is that murder?
Both. But when it comes to newborns, typically it is a woman who has lost her child.
Correct. Yeah.
You know, something... Typically, newborns are taken to replace a child.
What they lost.
Yeah. They're usually not... taken from their homes. They're typically taken out of a hospital.
Right.
Or out of a daycare. But out of their homes, that normally doesn't happen.
That's true.
So, I mean, you don't think that. Even with the, you know, with her showing up there and then her going missing, that's still not something you would think. I mean, people are pregnant at the same time as family members all the time. Mm-hmm. Okay. When I was pregnant with Daxton, my brother was expecting his son. My cousin was expecting her son. And my aunt was pregnant. I was expecting her youngest daughter.
Oh, wow.
All at the same time. And all of them were born within months of each other.
Right.
So my nephew and my little cousin were born in October. And then my aunt's daughter and Daxton were born 6 weeks apart. So no, I wouldn't have, if something would have happened to my son, I wouldn't have thought that one of my family members did it.
Right.
Like, oh, you're pregnant and you just had your baby. Like, you know, that doesn't, it's not the first thought that you think of. So clearly something is happening that made them believe that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but they weren't, it's not like they were close.
No. And that's what I'm saying. Like, there's something there that is telling them, okay, we're not close to this lady. We don't really ever see them, but these pictures, that's my child. That's my child.
Mm-hmm.
It was something more than it just being the coincidence of her showing up with the baby at the same time.
Right.
For me, anyway.
Right.
It had to be just that intuition.
That's what I was going to say. Most babies look alike.
Mm-hmm.
So she was 6 years old when she seen her. Her features are going to start coming in. Mm-hmm. She's going to start looking like mom and dad.
Yeah.
Not just that, the mother's intuition.
Mm-hmm.
And that bond.
Pedro had seen her in person before. Luz had never seen her before she was 6 years old, but she had seen pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And they both kind of had those suspicions when Aaliyah was smaller.
Right.
But now that she's older and Luz is seeing her in person, she's like, without a doubt, I know it. And Pedro was like, okay. You know, he goes with it because he's like, she's her mom.
Right.
If she says, then that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So it's so much more than just the coincidence of her showing up with a baby and Aaliyah going missing.
Right.
That's why, you know, I say this story, it just shows that parent, and not even just mom's intuition, but parents in general.
Mm-hmm.
Because Pedro was like, I think that might be her. It shows that it is a real thing. Because she went missing at 10 days old.
Right.
And here they are 6 years later. That's my daughter. That's my daughter. I know. So this time around, though, because of the insistence from Luz, the new hair evidence, and the now pending DNA results, it was enough for a few law enforcement officers to start taking this whole thing a little more seriously. In late February, the DNA results came back.
No shit.
And the little girl that Carolyn claimed for the last 6 years to be her daughter, Aaliyah, was, in fact, Delimar Vera.
Mm.
With the results in hand, Lieutenant Boyle and his partner go back to Carolyn's home to confront her. But by the time they get there, she's gone.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah. Carolyn had fled, leaving her three other young children behind.
Holy shit.
Mm-hmm. So now that she was on the run, it seemed as though she was gone. But investigators believe that she would be found and arrested eventually. They didn't need a story. Her claims that this was her daughter and the DNA proving that she wasn't was all the proof they needed to know that she was guilty and she was now a fugitive. In a statement to the press, a law enforcement official stated on their behalf, quote, on the night of December 15th, 1997, Carolyn started the fire and kidnapped Delimar, whom she passed off as her own daughter. Once officials realized that Carolyn had fled, they issued several arrest warrants for charges, which included arson, kidnapping, and concealing the whereabouts of a child. Despite the circumstances surrounding their new reality, Luz couldn't help but feel all the joy in the world, now knowing that her daughter wasn't just alive, but she would soon be reunited with her. Boyle told reporters that Luz sat there once she heard the news, crying and shaking, saying thank you over and over again. Although this was a bright side, there was also a not so bright side to it. This was going to have to be a very slow and very difficult process for everyone involved. But worst of all, for Delimar. Because this little girl is now 6 years old, and the entire life and world that she had always known had just been torn apart in the blink of an eye. Carolyn was the only mother that she had ever known. And now she's being told that not only is Carolyn not her mother, but she had also been kidnapped by this woman from her real mother when she was only 10 days old. Something that no one could ever understand. But for a six-year-old, it's impossible. Like, how do you sit down and explain that to a six-year-old?
To where they can process it and understand.
Exactly. So this obviously had created, this had to have created so many feels for her, fears for her. And then now she has to create this bond with Luz, this one she doesn't know, but then she's also obviously missing Carolyn. And there's all kinds of stuff going on in her little tiny six-year-old body, you know? Luz and Pedro, though, decide to keep her name Aaliyah. It was the only name that she had ever known. And even though they had given her a name at birth, and Aaliyah was the one that was given to her by her kidnapper, and it was just another way that they were going to have to deal with the reality, it was the only name that she knew.
Mm-hmm.
So they decided to leave her name as Aaliyah, so it was less that she was Luz.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because she's lost her mom. She's, you know, her world's falling apart, but at least this way she doesn't lose who she is. Which I could not imagine. So building that mother-daughter relationship was very complicated for Luz, who spoke very little English. And for Aaliyah, who spoke no Spanish.
Oh, shit. Oh, wow.
Yeah. So their ability to communicate required a translator and services that had to be provided by a professional social worker. Because Carolyn didn't just take this baby from her parents. She ruined an entire life, an entire family and life in these relationships because she never taught Aaliyah anything about her culture, never taught her anything about her language, nothing. So now that she's back with her biological family and where she should have always been.
So it's a culture shock.
Yeah, that's basically what it is.
So was Carolyn white?
No, she wasn't. She was Hispanic. I just don't think she knew Spanish.
Okay.
Or she either didn't know Spanish or she just didn't teach it to her.
Teach it to her, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So she just like, she just fucked this whole thing up for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Because she took her from her parents. She didn't teach her culture. She didn't teach her the language. And now that Aaliyah is back where she should be, she can't even communicate with them.
Because they speak Spanish.
Because they don't know English.
Well, yeah.
Her mother speaks very, very little English. And Aaliyah doesn't speak Spanish at all.
Right.
And so in order to create this bond and these relationships, they have to have an outsider come in and translate between them all. It's awful. So shortly after this discovery of all of this, Carolyn, accompanied by her attorney, turns herself in. Which, very noble lady. Yeah, freaking great.
Kudos to you.
Right, exactly. Like, get the fuck out of here. So this arrest was obviously welcomed by Luz, Pedro, and their family. Luz told a reporter that if Carolyn was so evil then and started a fire, she could do it now with kids inside the house. Because, I mean, there were kids in the house before.
Yeah, the two young boys.
But she made sure they got out. Like, she helped Luz make sure that they got out. What's to say she wouldn't do the same now with children inside the house, mm-hmm. whether they would be saved or not?
Right.
She's not wrong for saying that. The detectives in Philadelphia were just as happy about Carolyn's surrender. Captain John Darby said, quote, "We are pleased that this phase of a complex, protracted, and emotionally charged investigation has been completed with the subject's arrest in this short time." So now that the arrest has happened, it appears that it was the end of the police involvement in the case. But with it, brought more questions than answers. So to those who knew Carolyn, the arrest and the allegations seemed impossible. Pedro's entire family, including his own sisters, weren't surprised at all that Carolyn showed up in December with a baby because they believed she'd truly been pregnant. In fact, in early January of 1998, Carolyn went to the New Jersey police station reporting that she had given birth at home, which now it's very clear that it was done in order to cover her tracks and to avoid suspicion. But home births happen all the time. People go into labor all of a sudden, all the time at home.
Right.
And paramedics don't get there and they deliver the baby themselves. Not exactly what happened in this case, but it does happen all the time. When it came to Aaliyah, it was reported that there had been some tension between them. But for the most part, everyone said that Carolyn had doted on the little girl. Evelyn Vera said that Carolyn treated her better than she did her other three kids.
Wow.
So Aaliyah was like the light of Carolyn's eye, basically. There was some tension. They didn't always get along. But, I mean, what fucking parent gets along with their kids all the time, okay?
That's the truth.
I mean, I have a preteen and an almost 9-year-old. Trust me. We don't always get along. So Aaliyah went to private school. Even though she was only 6, and she had already begun a modeling career, having appeared on TV and in print ads, 6 years old. What made this story even stranger was that there were many people in their family who were aware of Pedro and Luz's beliefs about their daughter still being alive and didn't believe it. Like, a lot of their family did not believe that their claims were true. There were some that did also question if Carolyn's daughter was Delimar, though. They just didn't have proof of it. So Jose Vera, Pedro's cousin, said that said the ones that thought Delimar was being raised as Carolyn's daughter, but nothing had ever came of it. So he's like, no, I kind of think it's Delimar too, but it was just suspicion. So what could they really do? They could report it to the police, but there was no evidence. There was the language barrier. They were just kind of fucked, really. So now, what about Carolyn's boyfriend? He was also suspicious of her story. In 1999, he had actually confronted Carolyn and demanded a paternity test to prove if the child was his or not. At that point, she broke up with him and never had any contact with him following this confrontation.
That's suspicious.
So there are some members who were shocked by the news that Aaliyah was actually Delimar, while there were others that weren't so surprised. Wasn't the first time that Carolyn had gotten herself in legal trouble. Nor was it the first time that she had made up some wild story to explain someone's suspicions. In 1966, a year before all of this went down, Carolyn had been arrested and charged with starting a fire at a New Jersey medical office where she had been working as a billing clerk. According to the police, Carolyn had been stealing business checks and then cashing them, but when she believed that her boss had caught on to what she was doing, she tried to destroy the evidence by setting fire to the office. And then because there were people inside the building at the time she did it, she was charged with aggravated arson along with fraud and theft. But she pled guilty to a third-degree charge in exchange for probation and community service. This claim of being pregnant with Aaliyah wasn't the first time Carolyn had claimed to be pregnant when she actually wasn't either.
Damn, so she has a past of it.
Mm-hmm. In 2000, when she worked at a drugstore, she had told coworkers that she was pregnant, even though she never showed any signs of being pregnant. That fall, she took maternity leave and she returned to work. When she returned to work, she claimed that her baby was stillborn, going as far as showing several coworkers a photo of her quote unquote stillborn child.
The fuck?
Yep.
She's got issues.
But what led Carolyn to become Aaliyah's mother is even more nuts than what I just told you. So according to her, she did go to Luz and Pedro's home on December 15th of 1997. but claims she didn't kidnap Delmar. In fact, according to Carolyn, Pedro handed the little girl to her, but she never knew why.
So he just handed her over.
Yeah, according to her.
For no reason.
Yep.
Here, take my baby.
Yep. In a 2005 interview, she says she wondered why she didn't question it. It filled her emptiness, so she just didn't question his reasons of just handing his daughter over to someone willingly.
That stresses me out.
Yep. If that's not crazy enough, she further claimed that Luz had not only known the truth all along, but that she had been there when Pedro gave her the baby after the fire broke out.
What sense does that make? Like, seriously.
I don't mean to laugh, but I don't know.
She's fucking delusional.
Yeah. It makes no sense at all. Like, my house is on fire, but my concern is handing over my infant to you.
And then pop up 6 years later.
Yeah.
Make a big ordeal.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep. That was my reaction. Yeah. As evidence to her claim, she pointed to how Pedro had visited her family in New Jersey a number of times. And once, he had been accompanied by Luz. Carolyn said, quote, "Why is it that Pedro was not arrested? I didn't do this by myself, and he gave me the child. Why didn't he get the kid before? If he would have come to me and got her, it wouldn't have hurt me as bad as it is hurting me now."
Fucking manipulator.
Mm-hmm. Like, you're hurt, lady.
Right.
What about everybody else in this situation? Obviously, police never believed her. They didn't believe the story about Pedro being involved in the disappearance of his daughter. The charges for Carolyn stood, but they didn't believe that she acted alone. The documents for the case only listed an unnamed conspirator, and then no additional arrests have ever been made to this day that I could find. They knew someone came into the baby's room and took the baby while Carolyn had kept Luz distracted downstairs, then handed the baby off to Carolyn after they were all out of the house, after the fire.
So, when the firefighter said that he heard a baby cry,
it was one of the neighbors.
Or the neighbors possibly could have, because the baby was still around.
Yeah. He just didn't hear it come from inside the house.
Right. Wow, that took some balls.
Mm-hmm. In 2005, Pedro's lawyer, a man named Mike Luber, had told reporters, quote, "This is a woman who is obviously a pathological liar. She has significant mental problems." He further said, "The one thing she hasn't said is the truth, who the real conspirator is." So nobody believes that she did it by herself, which she couldn't have done it by herself.
No, because she was downstairs.
Someone had to go up through the window and take the baby. So she's always stuck to her story. She's maintained her innocence. She said, quote, "I feel it's unfair. I raised her for 6 years, and instead of saying I want my child back, they're saying this woman kidnapped my kid. Well, I didn't." Yep.
But why would, which, okay, not saying that she's right, but if you kidnap a baby, you're bringing her around the whole family, you're showing pictures and everything. If you kidnap one of your family members' baby, why would you bring them around?
Because she's crazy.
Somebody's gonna notice.
I guess she thought they wouldn't. Do you want to know why she thinks Pedro gave his daughter to her?
Yeah.
According to her, she says she believed that once Pedro learned that she had lost her own baby in December of 1997, that he decided to give her his daughter. Like, here's the replacement. I'm sorry for your loss. Take mine.
That's not how that works, my guy.
Yep, that's what she says.
They must be really close and some shit like that.
Right. Now, according to the Philadelphia Daily News medical records, there were no signs that Carolyn had ever been pregnant at the time or had given birth to a stillborn baby as she had claimed in the past. Because she had three children.
Mm-hmm.
Every time you're pregnant, so you go to the doctors can tell how many times you've been pregnant based off the inside of your uterus.
Right.
They show three children, not four or five, three. But according to her, there's just
four.
Proof of five.
Oh, five.
Because she had this stillborn.
Oh, right. And then
Aaliyah. Her three boys. They didn't have that. So she's just full of shit.
Mm-hmm.
So she wasn't even pregnant in December.
Yep.
But she stuck to her story, even though the medical record showed that she had actually had her tubes tied in 1990, 7 years prior to the birth of Aaliyah.
Holy shit.
Yeah. She stuck to her story, though. Now, it's possible to become pregnant.
Right.
If your tubes tied.
It is.
But that's only if they're tied and not cut and burned.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not actually tied like people think they are. Okay. I'm sure you know.
Right.
For all of those that don't. They don't actually tie them. They use like clips and sometimes even sutures to block off the tube. Okay. It's basically like trying to think of something to use as an example. So they stitch it together or they can cut and burn them, which if they're cut and burnt, they can't grow back together.
Mm-mm.
If they're only cut, they can. Burning them basically gets rid of the tissue, can't come back together. If they're tied, they either suture them together with stitches or they use these little clips, like almost like chip clips.
Mm-hmm.
Almost like that. And it just blocks the tube off so that way sperm cannot reach the egg. Therefore, the egg does not get fertilized. It is possible if it is done wrong, they can grow back together. Hell, the tubes can divert and go around the clip.
Right.
The clip can fall off, which these are typically called Filshie clips or Holka clips. They can come off, but very rare. Having your tubes tied gives you a 99% rate of preventing pregnancy. So it has a very, very low failure rate compared to other forms of birth control. That's why most people do it. Mm-hmm. 1 out of 1,000 in the first year can fall pregnant. And then between 2 to 10 out of every 1,000 after 5 years of having your tubes tied can fall pregnant. So it's very rare.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very small percentage. So I doubt it ever happened to Carolyn.
Right.
And it can also be reversed. But the chances of becoming pregnant after reversal fall only between 50 to 80% who are able of women who can get pregnant naturally. Now, you can have your tubes tied and go through IVF.
Right.
You can still carry a baby.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't do it naturally.
Naturally, yeah.
Now, for it to be reversed and get pregnant naturally, lowers the percentage to 50 to 80%, like I said. And that's because it does leave behind damage to the tubes.
Mm-hmm. Scar tissue and everything.
Exactly. It may not be able to get through because of the scar tissue that built up. But a tubal reversal is not. Do you want to know what it costs?
Mm-hmm.
Anywhere from $5,000 to $10,000.
Holy shit.
So I highly doubt she had that done.
Right.
Only 6 years after having the tube reversal, because Delimar was born in 1997, which means she would have had to get pregnant late 96, very early 97.
Mm-hmm.
So I highly doubt she went and paid somewhere between $5,000 to $10,000 to have her tubes untied just 6 years after having it done.
Right.
I don't see that happening, but you know, whatever. Even though all this, according to Luz and Pedro, Carolyn had showed up asking Pedro to look at her brakes. Her story was totally different. Carolyn says she went by to give Pedro a ride to a friend's house to buy drugs. So now Pedro is also a
drug addict.
Drug addict.
Deadbeat dad and drug addict.
Yep. This lady's all over the place. According to her, she drove from New Jersey, which is a few hours from Philadelphia, to give Pedro a ride to buy drugs. Bitch, why are you driving hours to give him a ride up the road to get drugs?
Right.
They have their own car and he could have just walked.
The story's stressing me out.
I know. It makes it just all over the place. Anyway, Carolyn says she dropped Pedro off and then returned to the house to sit with Luz just before the fire started. Once the fire started, she says she helped Luz get the other children out of the house before returning to that friend's house to pick up Pedro and inform him of what happened. Which, again, can all be true because first responders are the ones that told Pedro what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Carolyn alleged that on the way back to the house, Pedro was saying that it was all his fault. She claimed he said he had cut the wires in the heater and had did something. Then when they got near the house, he asked her to drop him off around about a block from the house Then a few minutes later, he returned to the car and handed her the baby.
So you went to go take him to get drugs and you came back with the 10-day-old baby.
Yeah.
Huh.
It's a very large escalation, lady.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And according to her, he says, he did some on purpose. It's his fault.
Yep.
She then said that she took the baby home, laid down next to her and played with her. She said from then on, she was hers and no one questioned it. But as we know, it's not exactly true. So as the trial got closer, Carolyn had agreed to plead no contest to the charges. So for anyone that does not know what that means, it's basically like an Alford plea.
Mm-hmm.
No contest or an Alford plea means that the defendant is saying, okay, I'm innocent. I didn't do it. But I recognize that there is enough evidence for a jury to convict me.
Mm-hmm.
That's what she did. Then in late September 2005, she was sentenced to 0 to 30 years in prison for the abduction of Delimar. I'm not sure why I said 0 to 30.
That's what I was going to ask. Why was it 0? Time served?
I don't know. I tried to look up why it would say 0 to 30, but that's just, I think that's just maybe the way it was reported.
Mm.
That she could serve up to 30 years.
Right.
I think it just might be, because everywhere that I've seen it, that's what was reported. But I'm thinking that's just the way they said it. So after the sentencing was over, Carolyn addressed the court saying, quote, I truly believe I need counseling, Your Honor. I want to apologize to the...
Fuck my life.
I tried to ignore it, but I couldn't.
Are you kidding me? Yes, my guy. You need more than that.
I tried to just go right past
it. I couldn't do it.
Oh, okay.
I gotta stand up.
Okay, quote. I truly believe I need counseling, Your Honor. I want to apologize to the family and the court for all of this confusion.
Wow.
Yep. So in response, Judge Pamela Demby called Carolyn's remarks breathtakingly short of the mark. And she said, quote, and what I'm hearing in your voice still is an angry desire to put a lot of the responsibility on someone else. I can't imagine letting another parent believe that their child had burned to death.
That's true.
So in addition to her prison term, the judge ordered Carolyn to serve a five-year probation sentence and to never be in contact with any of the victims ever again. So now the process of restoring custody of Aaliyah to her parents takes place. Very slow and difficult. The court awarded shared custody to both Luz and Pedro, but her primary residence would be in the home with Luz. Following this, Pedro and Luz had maintained a cordial relationship. Pedro's lawyer said, quote, this child already has a fragile psyche. If we went into custody and visitation battles, it's going to get messy. So they just decided this is what we're going to do. Save her any more heartache or any of that.
Yeah.
So finally, while they always referred to their daughter as Delimar, like I said earlier, both Luz and Pedro had agreed to continue calling the girl Aaliyah. They didn't want to disrupt or confuse her any farther because she's only 6 years old.
Right.
6 years she had been Aaliyah, and the mother she had always known was now gone. So although they were hurting and it was hard for them to do it, they decided to do what they could to make things easier for her. Now, in late March of 2004, which is less than a month after Aaliyah was returned to them, Luz and Pedro sold the rights of their story for a movie and a book to Larry A. Thompson Organization, which is a company known for producing made-for-TV movies. Then, in 2008, the Lifetime Movie Network premiered Little Girl Lost, the Delimar Vera story. After viewing the movie, the family and Angel all agreed that it was an accurate and respectful depiction of the story. So if everybody wants to watch it, according to them, it is accurate. So going back 2 years to August of 2006, both Luz and Pedro filed civil suits against the city of Philadelphia, including the fire department, alleging that several city and law enforcement officials had violated their federal statutory right under the National Child Search Assistance Act of 1990 and their 14th Amendment rights by failing to conduct a proper search for Delimar during and after the fire. The court was sympathetic, but ultimately dismissed the complaint, stating that, quote, after much analysis and with considerable appreciation for the professional skills of several of the counsel involved in this wrenching case that has no doubt caused many heads to shake and wonder at its occurrence and many sympathetic helping hands to be extended to the people involved for the reasons discussed below. The motions is dismissed. The complaint will be granted. So they're just like, sorry. We know this sucks. You missed out 6 years of your kid's life, but we don't owe you anything.
Slap in the face.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So now we just have to hope that they're all happy and healthy, that Aaliyah was able to heal from what she experienced and all of it. Based off pictures that I've seen, they all look to have coped and went on to live good lives together. I've seen some wedding pictures of what I believe to be Aaliyah, her parents in it, all of that. So it looks like they're happy.
Mm-hmm.
Other than the movie, though, it looks like they just kind of stayed out of
the light.
Yeah. Looks like they just kind of, they sold their rights and just moved on with their lives. So that's it. That is the kidnapping and return of Deli Marvera.
That shit stressed me out.
Yep. I told you, you just had to get through it.
I couldn't imagine.
Yeah.
Like, knowing that my baby wasn't dead, but not knowing how close my child was.
Yeah.
Like, that's insane.
She was right there the whole time. And see, they knew it. They just
couldn't prove it.
Yep. They knew deep down that was Delimar. They just couldn't prove it.
That would be hard.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
Mm-hmm. And it ended happy. I told everybody it ended happy.
It didn't end up happy, but it was stressful as hell.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Which, the next one's not
great.
It's not. You're not going to like it.
Yay!
It's pretty close to home for us.
Oh, fuck.
You'll probably know it, actually. Yeah. You'll probably know the next one. Because you were living here in 2012, right? Like, not in this town, but...
In Iowa?
Mm-hmm. No. Oh, maybe you might not know that.
Mm-mm.
Okay. Well, maybe
I've only been here about 4 years.
Okay, you might not know it then.
Might have heard about it though.
Yeah, you very probably. I mean, it was a big.
Hey, bacon is good.
I'm not gonna lie. I hope that picked it up.
Leave that in there.
Yep. Yeah, you might have heard about it.
But it's sad.
Okay. Anyway. We got any more thoughts?
Yeah, I'm fucking tired.
No, that one stressed me out.
Got any side commentary,
Mike?
You made him thirsty.
We all know you're thirsty, Mike.
I'm bored.
Okay, that's it. We'll be back next week for another episode. Join us for that one.
It is not going to be.
You don't know that.
I think the next one comes with an announcement, maybe.
Why not all three, though?
That would be a good one. Get all three of us on there. That would be good.
Mike's not awkward when he does it, though.
You were awkward.
Yeah, but that was like you were like awkward. His second one, though, so I feel like that's probably why.
Yeah.
You both can fuck off.
Yeah, he doesn't do it on a regular basis like we do.
Yeah, so he has a
thing. Yeah, I think that's all it was. And he was kind of tired.
We were awkward, though, when we first started.
Yep.
And then
it's kind of.
It's.
You're still.
The more you do it, the easier it becomes.
Thank you, Mike, for that comment. You asshole. No, I would not.
But he was also tired because we had just gotten off work.
Right.
As well, so.
That makes a difference, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep.
It makes a big difference.
Yeah, that would be a good one.
I think, but it needs to be a lighthearted case.
Yeah, like one of our hauntings.
It's like one of the hauntings.
Because he's not really into the true crime.
Yeah, I think it should be one of the haunting ones.
Yeah.
And we all get on and do it. I think that would be a good one.
Yeah.
That'd be most definitely.
Yeah.
Maybe record that one.
Yeah, we'll just have to pick one.
Yeah, we'll have to do it.
Yeah, we'll just have to go through our list here.
Yeah.
Pick one. Okay. So, come back next week for another episode. It'll be our last missing children for full episode. For me.
Good.
Yep. I do have a few photos for this episode. It's only like 4 or 5, not a whole lot. So those will be on our Facebook page. As always, that link's in the description. Make sure you give us a rate, a review. Don't forget to subscribe so you get those notifications when these release. We have a bunch of new listeners now. So a link, our email in the episode description, and I'll set that up on our Facebook page as well. So if you have any case suggestions, any, I don't know, your own true crime or spooky thing you want us to share.
Yeah.
Just send it to that. It's monstrouspcpod@gmail.com. I will link that, like I just said. I think that's it. Anything else?
No.
Yeah. All right. Well, we hope you keep listening. And remember to watch for monsters and don't kill people. Bye, y'all.
Bye, y'all.